You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It's Tuesday, April 18th, 2017. And this is the Rodo Experts in the Morning alongside the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, CTM Baseball's Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Matt, you're looking sharp today.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. It's a terrific Tuesday. The Mets will finally win. The Rangers will tie up the series. Very optimistic.
Really? Is that what, so you dressed for success today? That's what's happening here?
That's exactly what's happening.
Okay, so, because Matt, you know, you come in like a sweatshirt sometimes. You got like, I feel like you just went for like a workout. Now you're here. And now you're all dressed up here.
Yeah, looking good and feeling good.
I like it. I like where that's at. Fantasy Executive, you always look good.
Thank you very much, Greg. Just coming in here, you know what I'm saying, trying to get some stuff done.
Just trying to make it.
Got a lot of stuff going on in the world of sports right now. Obviously, we got baseball, we got some NHL, we got some NBA, you know what I'm saying. Lyle, Carmelo got divorced, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's very sad. Very sad.
Do you know the reason why? Separated. Do you know the reason why?
It's probably because he's like, honey, I'm going to leave New York. She's like, no, you can't leave New York. And he's like, well, I have to leave New York because I can't play here. I can't do this anymore. And she's like, well, if you leave, I'm staying. And
I think that's not it.
Oh, okay.
I think he's a little mellow that might be on the come up.
What do you mean?
It might be a Carmelo Jr.
Well, there is a Carmelo, a different Carmelo Jr.?
Yeah.
Oh, his name's not Carmelo Jr., his name's something else.
It would be something else.
No, yeah. His son with Lala is not named Carmelo
Jr. Uh-huh.
You think there's another Carmelo, you think there is a Carmelo Jr., is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, sorry, that happened sometime.
What, now, where you can substantiate this?
I will pull it up right now. Okay. I will get it right when my computer is struggling, you know what I mean? But I hope this is not the case, you know what I'm saying? But you know, you can't, you know, that's sad.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
I want, you know how tough it's got to go through. You got to come home, you know what I'm saying, and you got to go to work, and you got Phil Jackson talking about you suck, and really he sucks. Then you come home, and your son is like you barely made the All-Star team, and your woman is like something's not right. You know what I'm saying? And it's got to be a very stressful time for Carmelo Anthony. So I'm praying for him.
Couple $100 million makes it a little easier.
Well, yeah, this is true. It's not like if I was going through it, it would be a disaster, you know?
Yeah, because you don't make $100 million.
No, I don't. Yeah. No, I'm probably not going to ever eclipse the $100 million plateau either.
Don't sell yourself short.
That's true, sure, too. You never know, you know what I'm saying? There's going to have to be a real boom.
Coming from live from the Fantasy Exec Studio.
Yes, yeah, exactly, because I'm not going to leave my house either. Well, I would. At nighttime.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. How you doing, though? Everybody straight this morning?
I'm doing great. I was actually... So last night, I was watching the Yankees, obviously. And I was also... I was watching Monday Night Raw, as I tend to do on Monday nights. And I'm watching this. And all of a sudden, this commercial comes on. And I have RCN Cable, as you guys know. This commercial comes on. Watch Foul Territory, Thursday night, 7 p.m.
Nice. How about that?
Commercial that we filmed right here. I was sitting over there. We filmed it. And that was our commercial. It came right on during Monday Night Raw.
A lot of people have come to me about Foul Territory saying how much they enjoyed it.
What was their favorite part?
The Fantasy Executive.
Right, makes sense.
It's a silly question. And then they would ask me, like, did you watch it? And I'd be like, no. And they'd be like, why not? And I'd be like, because I lived it.
Right.
Yeah, I lived it. That's no reason to watch it if I lived it. But everybody else should watch it, though.
Yeah.
Because they didn't live it.
No, they did not.
I was here in the flesh. You know what I'm
Thursday,
saying?
Thursday, 7 p.m., Fantasy Sports Television Network. It is Foul Territory. We'll do it all again this week, Corey.
Let's get it rocking and rolling. It is a good time to be a member of the Fantasy Sports Network. A lot of big things take place. So definitely proud, happy to be associated with the program. You know what I mean? A lot of people thought, a lot of people tried to keep this from happening. But I told them, you're not going to stop me because you don't control the Fantasy Executive, and it's true.
The Fantasy Executive cannot be stopped.
Yep, can only hope to contain me. I'm like Kyrie, you know what I'm saying? I go for buckets. I get buckets, Sussman. I get buckets when it counts the most.
It's really funny. You mentioned Kyrie. Obviously, the Cavs up 2-0 in that series against Pacers. It was just a month ago. Everyone's like, oh, no, the Cavs. Oh, no. And now LeBron's like, yeah, we're firing all cylinders. We're good.
Yeah, what do you think about next matchup for them, though, could be against the Bucks. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out over the course of the next couple days. The NBA really stretches their first round out.
So ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is. And then last night, you kind of got two duds, you know what I mean? So hopefully tonight's NBA playoff action is a little bit better. Who we got tonight? Anybody know who we got tonight?
Yeah, of course. Tonight on the schedule, we got Milwaukee and Toronto.
Love it. Game
NBA
two of that
TV.
Series.
That was a lot. That was a lock and a half. Chicago, Boston.
Another game. Another game two. So here we go in the Eastern Conference.
Utah and LA.
So this is three lower seeds that have went into the other team's building and stole game one. So this is very big game twos tonight coming up for the Blue Jays. Coming up for the Raptors, the Celtics, and the Clip joint. So it's going to be interesting to see if those teams can get back on track. So interesting night in NBA playoff action coming up tonight with Giannis and the Bucks. And then, you know, you got the Bulls. Of course, the situation, the sad news, the sad story that's developing in Boston with Isaiah Thomas trying to recover and play through the tragic death of his younger sister. And then we got Utah versus the Clippers, who the Clippers are a team that many rumored people are rumoring Carmelo Anthony to be a part of, because this Clipper thing is imploding. This team should be better than this. And, who do you blame in a situation like this? I blame Blake Griffin, because Blake Griffin's a chump. But what if at the end of the season, Doc Rivers has to take the blame?
Now, did the Clippers lose that first game on a buzzer beater?
No, it was not a buzzer beater.
It was Joe Johnson. Sure.
Oh, it was a buzzer beater. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Joe Johnson with the buzzer beater.
Yeah. My Dubs are back in action tomorrow night.
Your Dubs.
Yeah, my Dubs play tomorrow night. My game two versus Portland.
Now, do you watch
night.
Your Dubs at B-Dubs?
Dubs come on too late. Dubs don't come on until 10:30.
That's right.
So you know what I'm saying. And by 1 o'clock, it's like, okay, hold on, you know what I mean. You're hanging in there. Tomorrow night's some good games too. You got Atlanta and Washington tomorrow night. You got Oklahoma and Houston tomorrow night, and you got Portland and my Dubs. So, but yeah, that's what's going on. How was NHL last night, Matt?
It was actually the Toronto Maple Leafs won in overtime. I think the Ottawa Senators won in overtime. Canadian teams are really taking it to the United States teams.
Yeah.
I was going to say North America, too.
North America. Yeah, sorry, everybody.
But, it's actually been really good, except for the Rangers last two games. It's been
What's the Rangers? What are they?
They're down to two games to one. They play tonight in their must game and win at the Garden. So hopefully they come to play, because after they gave up that goal at 17 seconds, they haven't, you know.
You are going tonight?
Unfortunately, I am not. Unless somebody wants to, you know, donate some tickets.
I see what I can do.
That's nice of you.
Yeah, I mean, there's no guarantees. So last night, the Maple Leafs won.
The Maple Leafs, the mighty, mighty Maple Leafs. I mean, Washington Capitals should be the team to beat, but they're down 2-1, and it's really been a tough series for them.
And the Senators beat the Bruins, and the Predators beat the Blackhawks, right? This all happened last night.
Oh, did the Blackhawks win last night? The Blackhawks hadn't scored a goal in like the first two games.
Predators won 3-2. And the Ducks beat the Flames.
The Ducks came back. Yeah, they were down 3-1.
Wow, this is playoff hockey.
Gotta grow your beard.
No, all right.
You don't get into the NHL playoffs, do you, Greg?
I normally do. You know, I normally get into the Rangers run a little bit, because they know there's nothing's better than the NHL playoffs. Everyone knows that. But, like, I haven't felt it this year. I really haven't.
Well, you're doing a lot.
I am. Maybe that's
what it is.
I just feel a little busy.
Many hands in the fire.
I just feel busy, I think, yeah. All right, whatever. Hey, so on today's show, we're not going to talk about Sam Dyson today, thankfully.
Thank God.
Yeah, I don't feel like doing that. But what we are going to talk about is, like I said, I normally wake up in the morning, and one of the first things I do, I mean, obviously it is the first thing I do, I turn over. I look at my phone, look at my texts, my emails, right?
Yeah.
And then I check my fantasy team, or check the scores from last night. And I play in, you know, one of my, not the weekly leagues where I can do anything. That's my fun. So I play in the daily changes. So I can, like, do stuff, right? I look at this daily head-to-head. I play in a 7x7 league. It's 14 categories. I am down 13-0 right now. 13-0. It's day one.
You're getting smoked.
Smoked. In one damn day. Like,
what the hell is going on?
One day. This guy had Ariel Miranda pitch, Blake Snell pitch. I'm sitting here, and I'm getting crushed. This guy had 3 stolen bases yesterday. 2 home runs. His OBP was 625.
Now, what do you have today? Do you have any a lot of guys going, possible 2-star guys?
Yeah, man. I got a couple guys today, but like I feel like defeated already. I feel like I can't win today. It's not, I kind of want to wake up then on a Tuesday. Like, feel like I have no chance. That's how I feel like he had. Listen to this line this guy had yesterday, Matt. 14 for 26. 2 home runs. 3 stolen bases. 23 total bases. He struck out 5 times. My guy struck out 13. 4 runs. 7 ribbies. He had 4 pitchers go. I knew he had someone, oh. He got a save from O. A win from Miranda, who didn't have any runs. I mean, this is a joke. I lost and it's Tuesday.
It's a very big mountain.
It's still a lot of days in the gold, Greg. It's only damn Tuesday. You can come back, son.
I don't think I can.
Yes, you can.
I don't think I can.
You have a big night tonight.
I'm not going to. My team doesn't have big nights.
Oh, you're so negative.
You look at this line. Tell me where I'm supposed to come back from. Look at that.
You're going to... which one is you? Greg.
Yeah, right, that's correct.
Yeah. Makes sense. All right, so... All right. Well, no, you got no. You'll come back. You'll be fine. You'll be in it.
Notice he didn't say anything because I was like, I feel like I'm screwed.
You're not going. You're going.
Oh, they gave me another run. I'm at 12-1 now.
Well, just remember, it's a terrific Tuesday, so anything can happen.
You say that, and you're dressed for success, which I appreciate. But I just feel like I didn't have a bad night. You know, I had more strikeouts and total bases, which is not great. I just feel so screwed, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, look, but like I remember last week, maybe it was like last Tuesday or Wednesday, it was like the middle of the week, and I had like a fantastic offensive night. Maybe it was when like Cespedes hit the 3 homers, I had like 2-2.
Yeah.
So I was like, my offense was just unstoppable. And then the next night, I was like 1-26. So quickly as it happens, you know, 24-hour cycles.
Yes, I am. And what goes up must come down.
I don't, I'm not sure.
Is that a Papa Parson?
No. That one's been around for a while.
I'm still waiting for the Papa Parson debut on our show.
See what happens.
See if we make that happen.
Cool. Yeah. He don't really have much to talk about.
He has plenty to talk about. I just want to hear his insight, you know? If we can make Dan Levitard's dad famous, why can't we make your dad famous?
Yeah, Dan Levitard Pops is doing a good job on that program.
You don't think Papa Parson can?
Nah. Dan Levitard's Pops does a better job for television.
Alright, I don't agree.
I'm just telling you the truth.
I'm excited to have Papa Parson on.
My Pops is living a retired lifestyle.
Yeah, so he can't call in, he just sits in his chair and just, you know, and then has to...
Yeah, he kind of just really, that's all he really do. He sits around, sleep, you know what I'm saying? He got a little part-time gig, you know what I'm saying?
What do you like, a part-time gig with the Fantasy Sports Network?
No. I don't want him working here.
Huh?
I want everything to go to me.
That's selfish. It's your father.
Yeah, he's good. He retired. You know what I'm saying? You know, he used to deliver recruiting letters to Jamal Mashburn.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. Did he ever sell them? Sell the letters off?
What do you mean? Why would he sell the letters? When Jamal Mashburn was being recruited, you know what I'm saying? It was like all this mail coming for Jamal Mashburn. My pops was a mailman.
I understand.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So
he's a mail carrier.
He was a letter carrier, you know what I'm saying, for many years.
We know what you're saying, dude. I got it.
So you should bring the letters to Jamal Mashburn. Jamal Mashburn, shout out to him. He's doing very well.
What is he doing?
What is he doing? Jamal Mashburn owned like everything.
Really?
He's like a philanthropist. He's like a Magic Johnson type dude.
Really?
I was about to say, like Magic Johnson?
Yeah, he's like a Magic Johnson.
Really?
As a matter of fact, that's where he learned it from. Like when Magic Johnson was like later in his career, Magic Johnson like held a class for whoever wanted to attend,
right,
to learn, you know, business and entrepreneurship and stuff like that. And Jamal Mashburn was one of the few people that did it. And like Jamal Mashburn owns like everything.
Oh,
yeah, he's a very, very...
When you think of Jamal Mashburn, what team do you think of?
I think of the Kentucky Wildcats.
You do?
Yeah.
What are you taking?
Dallas Mavericks.
Mavericks, you know?
Yeah, that's what comes to mind.
I think my initial thought was the Hornets, which is odd. I know that. That was my initial thought. I know you played a while with the Heat, of course, and the Knicks Heat rivalries, like Mashmore's on that team. I don't really think of. I think of Kentucky. Interesting. Yeah, I think of the Hornets, I think. All right.
I think of the Kentucky Wildcats and Cardinal Hayes High School.
That's fine. It's reasonable. It's reasonable. All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll come back. Let's talk some baseball from last night. So who played well? Who didn't? Who my team can I bitch about? You'll have to come back to find out. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Join the family at Modell Sporting Goods.
Let's get into some baseball from last night. This is dedicated to Carmelo, by the way. You know what the song is?
What's it called?
Before He Cheats.
Oh, that's so upsetting.
Last night, I probably... It's Carrie Underwood.
I hope they can work it out.
Seems unlikely at this point.
Yeah, Carmelo Anthony... This is from TMZ. Carmelo Anthony allegedly knocked up...
Uh-uh.
Dancer.
Ooh. Knicks dancer?
Huh? I don't know if she worked for the Knicks or not.
Four wheel drive. I'm just saying the words that I know of the song.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
You know this girl? Is that
what you know? Yo, this hold up. Go ahead.
No. Yeah. We will not go ahead. We will wait until you tell us what's going on.
I'm doing some more investigations.
Yes, and what are you finding here?
I think I'm just going to do some investigation. I will report back when I have some clues. Right now, we need to talk about baseball.
All right.
Let's talk about Sam Dyson.
No, we're not talking about Sam Dyson. I told you we're not going to do that today.
Yeah, he's dead and buried.
We are going to talk about Eric Thames, though, and that's what we'll lead off today's baseball coverage. Brewers won 6-3 last night, and Eric Thames, every day... Same story, different day. 3 of 4 yesterday, 3 runs scored, another home run. He's, what, 5th game in a row or 6th game in a row now? 5th game. With a home run, he's 7th now of the year as a solo shot. Eric Thames leads the majors in home runs and every day. And I was watching this broadcast last night a little bit, and I basically, like, listen, Eric Thames is the best player this team has had to pair with Ryan Bronson's Prince Fielder, and it feels true. He kind of has, like, the thick beard going on. He's playing first base. And Eric Thames is just absolutely killing it. The Cubs have now lost 4 in a row, at least. And Ryan Braun hit his 5th home run. Even Jeff Bandy got involved with the backup catcher. And everything's going right now in Milwaukee. You had Chase Anderson give up some runs here. 5 innings, 7 hits. 3 runs, only 2 more, and struck out 5. Didn't pitch great, but the offense did not let them down last night.
Yeah, I was rooting for Chase Anderson to get blown up. It looked like early on there was a chance of that. Did not happen.
On the ropes.
Kudos to him. As I tweeted out this morning, I don't often draft Korean baseball players, but when I do, it's Eric Thames. I mean, Eric Thames is just man on fire, double, home run. I mean, you just don't get much more locked in at the plate right now.
No, you absolutely don't. It's just like, and even I watched a couple of his at bats last night. I watched the home run and I watched his last single in like the 8th inning. He smoked the ball, like smoked it. He was right on it, and he dropped in a really hard single that, like, if it bounced over the right fielder's head, Thames came all the way around to score. Like, it was so hardly hit.
Now, let me ask you guys a question. If you own Thames right now and you're in a trading league, would you put him on the block?
So, like, there's two obvious answers to that, right? Like, one, like, no, he's not a hitter in baseball, like, I'm good. I'm going to just enjoy this. Two, his value is never going to be higher than it is right now. Like, how do I not trade him, right? Like, those are the two lines of thought. To me, you always see what you can get. Like, what am I getting for Eric Thames? This is the obvious response to your question, Matt. Like, what are you giving me for him? You're probably going to give me someone that's, like, struggling a little bit. Like, maybe let's say Robinson Cano, right? Robinson Cano struggling a little bit to start the year. Would you do Cano for Thames?
I mean, I think I'd have to do Cano for Thames. I mean, I wouldn't. What is Thames going to do rest of the season? I know what Robbie Cano's done, you know, year in, year out. I mean, Cano's going to get me, say, 290, 300 average, right? I mean, going, if we're looking rest of the season, Is the home run difference going to be that big?
You would think not. Like, you would think you got these seven home runs for the Hames, you trade them away, and you're going to get seven home runs for Cano at some point, you know, like a burst.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm going to state that I hope Thames outplays Cano the rest of the season.
Obviously.
I have a few Thames. Yes. So, for that selfish reason. But, yeah, I mean, a proven guy like Cano, I would have to. I'd have to do it. I mean, look, is Thames going to steal? Also, we have to take into consideration, what is the stolen bases going to look like? I know, like, 2 years ago in the KBL, he stole, like, 40, 50 bases. I don't really see him stealing anything, you know, maybe 10, 12?
Oh, sure, who cares at this point? Right? You're going to give me 30 bombs, and we had 10. Great, that was stolen bases, fantastic. I don't care.
Yeah, no, but say he hits 30 bombs.
Yeah,
right?
which seems very realistic.
Yeah, no, that seems very realistic. So, now that's 24 more homers the rest of the season.
23.
He's got seven
he's
now?
He's got seven now.
Jeez. So he's hitting so many damn home runs. He
was in track. He was in track.
So let's say he hits 23 more homers. What is his average going to be from April 18th to whatever it is, October
1st? Yeah. I don't know.
That's the key question. I mean, at some point, they're going to figure him out a little.
Right. At some point, they're going to figure him out. At some point, he's going to slump. Every hitter slumps at some point during the year. Is Eric Thames all of a sudden Bryce Harper? Like, I don't think so, but it is very hard to pull that trigger.
No, I mean, I agree. It's always tough when guys are in this, the word in fuego, you want to use, whatever. It's very difficult. But this is the time where, like, if you can ever get, like, you know, even like a 2-for-1 or two really good players or package Thames and somebody you really don't care about, or, you know, I don't know. I mean, you have to listen. It's tough. It's so hard to see past how good this guy's playing right now to like even envision that he's not going to hit like this. But he's not going to hit like this for the whole season.
I also, if I was trading for him, I'd be nervous too, right? Like, what if he just falls off a cliff? Like, I don't see that happening because of how hot he is. But
what?
How am I trading? Yeah, how am I trading?
What do you have to go on?
How am I trading Robinson Cano for him?
Yeah, I mean, I
can't do that.
I couldn't offer.
No, that's ridiculous.
Well, it's ridiculous, but like, you have Eric.
Oh, I'm sure. Like you guys said, I'm sure that happens.
If you have Eric Thames, I don't want some. Who are you offering me? If you think Cano is ridiculous?
Who am I? Cano is ridiculous, but if somebody's dumb enough to do it, not let me not say listen, dumb enough. If somebody's willing to do it.
I have Eric Thames. What will you offer me for Eric Thames?
What will I offer you?
Yeah. That's what we're talking about. What will you offer me for Eric Thames?
I'm not offering Robbie Cano.
What are you offering?
I'm not trading for him, so I
don't
have
get, but I don't understand. Like, you're going to get a deal done. Like, what do you think you're going to be able to give to somebody for Eric Thames if you're not giving away something any good?
I give you Dexter Fowler.
Right, Dexter Fowler. Right, so you're giving me nothing. You're giving me nothing.
I'll throw with Randall Grucha.
Yeah, exactly. You want Steven Spaghetti? I give you him, too. I give you Fowler and Spaghetti.
Okay, so great.
I give you Fowler, Spaghetti, and Triggs.
So I'm being serious.
3-for-1.
I'm being serious.
I'm being serious too.
So you're giving me nothing.
I'm not going to go all in on Eric Thames. I can't do that. I need more of a track record. Being the MVP,
seven home runs.
Being the MVP of the KBO don't do it. For, you know that means nothing to me.
I mean, maybe nothing to you, but during draft season. But right now we're 2 weeks into the season. He's got seven.
And
home
you
runs.
Already home cutting people. You talking about we 2 weeks into the season?
Sure.
You already cutting people.
Correct. As
so
it should
so
be.
Yeah. So 2 weeks into the season, what are you saying? Seven home runs 2 weeks into the season. Those could be his only seven.
Seems unlikely.
That seems unlikely. But what if he finished with 17?
Also seems unlikely.
Everything seems unlikely right now. But, I mean, like we've been stating, it would be tough to make an offer for this guy. Because, like I said, I'm not going to give up, as Corey stated, and you mentioned, a Robinson Cano. I mean, and people are going to get really insulted that have Thames if it's not, like, a top player. That's what they're expecting right now. If they're going to let this guy go, they want the work. Which, I mean, rightly so right now, but...
You all right?
You all right? So, yeah, I think it's, you know, easier said than done if you don't think, like, you're going to have to trade a major piece for Eric Thames at this point.
Yeah, then don't do it. Right. That's how I would carry it.
The Chicago
you
Cubs...
You want to trade for him, don't you?
I'd love to trade for him, but I'm not going to give up enough for the guy. Like, I'm not giving up one of my best players for him.
Okay.
John Lackey, 6 innings, 7 hits, 4 runs, 2 strikeouts, 1 major curse word, as Mojica told us. You had Anthony Rizzo steal his second base of the year, of course, immediately followed by getting picked off second base.
At least I got the steal.
At least you got the steal, indeed. 2-for-4 night for Ben Zobrist, 2-for-3 night for Miguel Montero. Eventually, Wilson Contreras came in and walked and also got out, obviously. For Milwaukee, we gave you Thames' line. We gave you Ryan Braun's line. Jeff Vandy also, all three of those guys hit a home run. And it was Domingo Santana stealing his second base, and Ryan Braun, 4 stolen bases now this season. Braun off to a really hot start this year.
Braun, I mean,
hit behind Eric Thames. It's easy.
The only thing overshadowing Ryan Braun's start is Eric Thames. I mean, these two guys just crushed it. It's like they went 6-for-8, 5 runs, 4 RBIs, 2 homers, a stolen base. I mean, they are, you know, they are the Bash Brothers right now.
I ask this every day as an owner. But what do we do about Keon Broxton right now? Over 4, number 2 strikeouts last night. Batting 143. The OBP's 231. He's not getting on base. We can't steal. Power hasn't really been there this year. What do we do about Keon Broxton?
This was a risky guy. I took a couple of shares of him. What I think you have to do if you're in a 12-team league and you own him, I wouldn't cut him. I would put him on the bench. And, you know, that's why you have a bench. And when guys are really struggling, really lost, I mean, he's the National League version of Byron Buxton right now. They both have tremendous upside. He's a guy that if you cut now, you know, Milwaukee's going to give him a leash. I mean, at some point, if this continues, it's, you know. But if you cut him now, you might, you know, in a month's time, you're going to be kicking yourself.
As you said, he has a leash. But, like, if you're a Keon Broxton owner, should you be, like, at least glancing at what Lewis Brinson's doing?
Yes, I would definitely be keeping an eye. I know last week, maybe like Thursday-ish or so, he, you know, towards the weekend, he hit his first minor league home run. I don't think Milwaukee wants to put Brinson up at least until, you know,
because of the clock,
two,
right?
And stuff like that. And he does need some more seasoning as well. So, and Milwaukee's winning right now. I mean, the Cubs lost, what, 4 in a row to the Pirates and the Brewers?
Remember, Brinson missed a bunch of games. He hurt his finger last week, but is Lewis Brinson just another version of Keon Broxton? Like, what makes it too different, Matt? Because I don't really know.
I believe from what I basically, like most people, I'm not, like, following every minor league stat. But I'll read up on the players and people that I know that follow minor leaguers and assess their opinion as well. He has much more pedigree from what I know, and, you know, he has that potential, that power speed potential, which drives us all. I mean, anytime, like, Jock Peterson hit, like, 30 homers and 30 stolen bases.
And then didn't steal a base the last 3 years.
So, I mean, that's what you have to worry about, too. But the good thing with him, when he does come up, he has power. We know that. Milwaukee loves to run. So being in that environment is an asset to his game.
All right, almost perfectly timed here. Literally perfect. I have just received a trade offer.
Oh, let's go. Let's talk about it. I want to hear this.
I have just received a trade offer in the Greenwich Street Tavern League.
Oh,
Jerry Colvin?
I have just received a trade offer in the Greenwich Street Tavern League.
By my man Ron Cafferty?
From Tony Cincata.
Oh, how about that? Tony Eric Thames?
For Eric Thames.
Whoa.
How about that?
Look
timing?
At this.
How about that?
This
timing?
Is like, you know, they say movie magic.
Yeah.
Radio, whatever.
Pixie dust.
Tony has offered Eric Thames, Travis Shaw, and CC Sabathia for Tyler Skaggs, Ivan Nova, A. Eugenio Suarez, and Jonathan VR.
Ooh. This is an interesting deal right here.
This really is. So wait, now you have the Broxton? You have... not Broxton, Thames?
No.
Tony has Thames.
Tony has Thames.
Tony is the Thames.
He's offering Eric Thames, Travis Shaw, and CC Sabathia for Tyler Skaggs, Jonathan VR, Ivan Nova, and A. Eugenio Suarez.
Okay. Nova's better than Sabathia right there.
Yep.
VR is the big...
That's,
you know,
the big fish.
That's the big fish.
VR and Thames are the big fishes.
So, you know...
This is a fairly even deal, too.
It's an interesting deal.
No, yeah. It is.
It's an interesting deal because we also have Billy Hamilton, speed-wise.
Yeah.
So, you know what? That makes it a lot more interesting. You know that you have Hamilton. That
I
you,
have
Yeah,
Hamilton.
So you have the... You can let go of VR. You just said 20 seconds ago that he was in on things.
In the deal?
No, we're giving up Skaggs.
You're giving up Skaggs.
Skaggs and Nova.
And Nova. See, that's the thing. You're giving up two guys. and you're getting back Sabathia.
I'm much more interested in giving up one of those two, I think.
Yeah.
Giving up, because like Eugenio Suarez, Travis Shaw, like, I'd rather have Suarez, but like, it's close-ish. Not really. I'd rather have Suarez. Who am I kidding?
I don't think it's that bad. And Suarez is off to a
much better start.
But
VR is off to a terrible start.
He is, and he still has some slumpers.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to give up one of Nova and Skaggs. I don't think I have to give up both. That doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, I am not.
Because Sabathia is the clear downgrade to both of those.
You know, maybe if I can find another pitcher on your roster to give up. I mean, I understand why Tony's asking for both those guys. But
that's interesting.
It is an interesting trade. It's a good offer.
I have an update. Tony Zingano has withdrawn trade offer.
Oh!
Just like that.
I wonder why he withdrew it.
Well, that was a fun conversation we just had for those 2 minutes while the trade was out there.
You're going to get more trade offers today, though.
You think so?
Yeah, because people want to hear you talk about them on the radio.
Yeah, you probably right. That's okay. Hey, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We got a lot more baseball to talk about, including what's going on with Corey Seager, because he was 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts last night. And I wasn't somebody that saw, like, oh, look at Corey Seager, look at the K ratio last year. Be like, oh, man, Corey Seager strikes out a hell of a lot. Last year was 19%. This year it's up to 28%. We'll break down Corey Seager and the Dodgers really struggling with the bats right now. We'll break it down next on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Step onto the pitch.
Don't call it a comeback. LL Cool J. Mama said it. Knock you out.
I got you.
It's a little bit before your time.
Yes.
Oh, remember this one, Matt?
Oh, yeah. LL back in the 80s was he was the man.
He was the man.
This is when LL was, like, scary?
Yeah, this was scary.
This is before he was on Law & Order.
That was Ice-T's on Law & Order. LL's on NCIS.
Yeah, before he was on NCIS, before he became a big-time movie star, when he was a gangster rapper.
Yeah, how could he turn from gangster rapper to movie star? Like hosting
it happens to a lot of those dudes.
And hosting the Grammys.
Yeah, I know. It happens to a lot of those dudes. And he remember Scott gave him hats to try on.
Yeah.
Remember the hat? Crazy, right?
LL will kill you.
Yeah, but back, no, he won't. And then remember Ice Cube? Like, it's so crazy. Like, if I ask my son, like, yo, who is Ice Cube? He'd be like, oh, he makes children's movies.
He's on all those movies.
Yeah, he makes children's movies. Ice Cube, to me, is a stone cold gangster. You feel what I'm saying?
But these guys aren't anymore.
They aren't. Ice-T.
They got out.
Ice-T plays a cop on television.
Yeah.
I would have never thought that.
And he's been playing a cop for like 20 years.
I know, right?
Pretty funny. You go from writing a song, Cop Killer, to playing a cop.
On television. It's amazing. Money changed things.
These guys all get like, oh, look at LL Cool J back. And even like 15 years ago, you're like, look at a gangster.
Yeah.
And now he's wearing all like suits and stuff.
Yeah, he's like, probably got a grandchild or something now.
In fairness to these guys, I mean, even like Metallica, who was like really their best music was before like Enter Sandman, but they were like all commercialized.
Exactly, that's
how
it
happened. They went the mainstream route, which I understand. You know,
like even,
money's hard to turn.
You got
down.
To, yeah, you got.
Yeah, like in 2002, LL Cool J's out supporting the Republican governors.
What?
Yeah.
Sorry, Matt.
We just created
another LL family.
Yeah, there we go. In what state?
In New York. Governor Pataki.
Oh, okay.
Let's talk about Corey Seager.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Seager 0-for-4 last night. Four strikeouts. That's 4 stolen bases. That would have been cool. 4 strikeouts. Dodgers really struggling to hit. They had 2 runs, and that was it. One on the second, one on the fourth. They lose this one 4-2 to the D-backs. Robbie Ray, your guy, 6 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs, only one of them were earned. Struck out 10 despite walking 4. With all that, you thought the pitch count would be really up. 99 pitches, 6 innings, not terrible. Fernando Rodney, which is an excellent ninth for his 5th save. But to me, again, like I said, the story for me is Corey Seager. So batting 2nd, of course, 0-for-4, 4 strikeouts. The line's still good, right? 283 average, a 350 OBP. So, like, it's fine, but he is just striking out at a crazy rate. I know he's one of the league leaders in strikeouts here. What's going on with Corey Seager?
maybe it's that he missed a lot of the spring training. That could be one.
Yeah.
But this is the perfect game to go. We were just talking about the Brewers and everything there. This is the perfect lead-in. Of course, there's a lot of talk, and you know, I think it's the right move for both teams about Ryan Braun possibly going to the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Dodgers' main problem is facing left-handed pitching, and we see this time and time again, and they just can't hit him. They cannot hit left-handed, and Ryan Braun would do a hell of a lot to alleviate that situation.
They should get him.
I mean, Corey Seager, like I said, maybe it's the spring training thing. The other numbers look good. There's no worry about him getting, you know, sat down or anything. So, you own Corey Seager, just sit tight, and hopefully, you know, the correction comes. It was actually a well-pitched game. Brandon McCarthy, as long as he's healthy, he seems to, you know, be a pretty decent starter. And Robbie Ray, the thing with Robbie Ray is he got the 10 strikeouts, those 4 walks. He's surviving the walks. He's actually leading MLB with 12 walks in the season. So, I mean, but those strikeouts are very nice.
I'm looking at the leaderboard of the guys that struck out the most this year. I own 5 in the top 25. That sounds bad.
That's not.
Hey, you own a quarter of them.
I don't know why I own Keon Broxton. I'm going to be honest with you. He's next to go on my list, so in case you guys are wondering.
Yeah, but I mean...
I'm just letting you know.
Put him on the bench this week.
He's on the bench.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just letting you know.
Because you know what's going to happen. You're going to cut him. And then he's going to hit like a couple of homers, steal like 5 bases in a week, and you're going to...
He's got 5 hits this year. He's got 5 hits and 16 strikeouts. That's very bad, Matt. He's got 9 total bases.
I mean, he's not the...
I don't even know how that's possible when you have 5 hits. How do you have 9 total bases?
He's not the NL version of Byron Buxton for nothing.
No. He's got 1 double and 4 singles. That's how you get to 9. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's...
Is that up right? No, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense.
That'd be 6, right?
2, 4.
Does he have a homer?
Does he have a homer? Oh, yeah, he's got 1 homer. Yeah, one homer, 1 double, and the rest a couple singles. There you go.
I want to make a trade to get Yasiel Puig on my Tout Wars team.
Yasiel Puig last night for the Dodgers. Puig winds up going 0 for 3. Batting 303 still with an OBP of 414. Got caught stealing, Corey.
Yeah, and it's going to happen. At least he's giving the effort. He's trying. You know what I'm saying?
Did you see that steal? It was kind of great. Somebody tweeted out they already had a gift for it. Because he was, like, out by a lot. And he tried to, like, go around. It was kind of like in Major League. When he's out, and the guy's, like, the guy's waving at the
camera. I love it.
That's funny. Kiki Hernandez had his first home run of the season. The other run for the Dodgers was a sack fly by Logan Forsyth.
He's back in the lineup.
Back in the lineup. You know, it's funny. I was watching MLB Network a little bit last night. And, you know, like, when my guys come out, I get all excited. And so I'm watching this game. At the time of Forsythe's sack fly, bases were loaded.
Where was Judy?
At her own apartment.
Oh, you stayed by yourself last night?
You know, just was watching baseball. You know?
Oh, I thought maybe y'all stayed together every night.
No. Are you kidding me?
She's probably listening.
She very well could be. Nevertheless, I was... sitting in my own crib.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Eating Chipotle for dinner.
Nice.
Yeah, very nice.
I got a buy one, get one free coupon.
Have you had the chorizo?
No.
I haven't had it yet. Either.
I buy one, get one free. I know what to go with. So I just got 2 bowls. I have one in my fridge that I'll eat like another night for dinner. So I just, you know. Anyway, so I'm watching MLB Network. And Logan Forsythe hits a sack fly with the bases loaded. Now there's 2 on. There's 2 out. And Corey Seager's coming up. I'm like, all right, we'll be right back. We're going to show you Corey Seager's at bat. I'm like, all right, this is good. Like, they're showing you Seager's at bat. Like, good things are going to happen. And he struck out, like, 3 pitches.
I hate that. What's his name? Does it? The tall dude. What's his name?
Well, Greg Amsinger was there.
Yeah, Amsinger. Yeah. Amsinger does it all the time. I get, like, all stoked. Like,
yeah.
Somebody, Mike Trout. Coming up, I can hit a home run already. Is it home run number 2?
Yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah.
I'm going through my fantasy thing. I'm rushing through. I'm like,
So I did the opposite. I shut everything off. I was like, all right, I don't even want to know what happened. I just want to see it. I want to watch it, pretend it's live. And they strike out in 3 pitches. Even before that, we'll get to this game in just a second. Even before that, so I'm watching MLB Network, and they're going over the Indians, right? So they're going over the Indians game. And you have Cleveland. It's like the third. It's the third inning. So Francisco Lindor.
Lindor
hits a double.
Another one.
Up next, Michael Brantley. Brantley like grounds out. Yongo comes around to score. Lindor's on third. So I'm like, okay, I think things are good. Eddie comes up. Eddie hits a single. Lindor. And now Eddie's up. I'm like, all right. Jose Ramirez is up. I'm like, I'm talking to my roommate. Like, this is my guy. Like, we're rolling right along. Like, this is my guy now. Like, all right, cool. Boom. Flies out. Inning over. I'm like, sick. Awesome. He goes, your night's not going great, am I? I'm like, no. Not so well. My night was probably better than his, though. He had wound up last night. He came on like really late. I'm like, where were you? He went to like an open mic night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's a rapper?
No, comedy.
Oh, okay, nice, okay.
So open mic night. I go, how'd it go? He goes, honestly, not very well.
Oh.
I'm like, why? He goes, I think it was just a bad crowd overall. He went late. He didn't go at like 10 o'clock when like a lot of these things happened. He went like a little bit early on.
Yeah.
And he's like, nobody really laughed. Like just at you or like at everybody? So they weren't really laughing at everybody. I was like, well, let me hear your set.
Yeah.
And
did he stand up?
So I made him stand up.
Yeah,
I mean, like, go back into his room and like I announced him, like, dude, and he came out and I gave him a clap. And I'm thinking to myself, do I like laugh if it's not funny?
Yeah.
Or do I just be honest?
Yeah, you gotta be honest.
And you know
with
me, I'm very honest.
You have to be brutally honest with him.
So I was honest. So he gets in there and he's like, man, it's great to be here.
Yeah.
I just moved to New York City, and this is the opening of it. I moved to New York City a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And, like, exploring the city, I'm really loving it. And I'm trying to, and I'm really finding out quickly like the difference between like single and desperately single.
Yeah.
And it's like, single is like you're fine, like you're single, you're living life. And desperately single is like literally when you realize you're eating by yourself every night. I'm like,
All right. So, boy, I just flew in from Cleveland, and boy, my arm's tired.
So I sit there, and I'm standing there. Right? No big deal, right? It's like, it's crazy. Like, you go, it's like a Broadway show, and like you go, it's intermission. Like, everybody has to go to the bathroom. These ridiculous lines. And like, now I know why everyone's always peeing on the subway.
Oh.
It's getting a little dark.
And I'm just sitting there like, just like that. No, you're not hearing anything. Corey Parson is
I would remove
this.
Some sharp objects.
He went up there and he bombed like that.
Yeah. I'm like literally giving you the jokes verbatim.
Oh man.
And there was one
but
more.
No, I like the effort though. Like the effort. So what's the next one?
I honestly like don't remember the next one.
Oh, okay.
And that's probably a good thing. Like those are the two that really stood out to me. It was a rough night. It was a rough night for my poor roommate.
My man Steve is you know how you could be funny, like when it's a group of y'all hanging and chilling. Like Steve was always like slap your knee funny. So Steve got into it, and he actually was getting laughs and doing pretty good and like doing sets and stuff like that. You know what I mean? He wasn't afraid of the stage, whatever the case may be. But he had a couple gigs for like a year and a half, 2 years. He did the comedy thing, you know what I'm saying? But then he stopped. He's not doing it no more. He's boxing now.
Mm.
But like training people to box.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Sweet gig, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Shout out to Steve.
Shout out to Steve. Jake Lamb hit his third home run last night. Paul Goldschmidt stole his fourth base of the season. 14 OBP right now for Goldschmidt. He's got 2 home runs, 4 stolen bases. Goldschmidt kind of picking up where he left off last year. We'll take a break. We'll
he
get
designed
more
sneakers for Nike, too. He worked for Nike as a designer. Uh-huh.
All right. Go Steve.
Yeah, no, he's very upwardly mobile.
Go Steve.
Yeah.
Take a break. We'll get into the Indians and the Twins on the other side. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I love when I read articles that, like, bash guys that I don't own and do really well again for guys that I do, except for like when I own them somewhere or whatever. So like I'm reading Ken Rosenthal's one of his notes columns right now, Ken Rosenthal, coach, Fox Sports. And he's basically saying, what the hell is going on with Jose Bautista? Batting 136, his OPS is at 446, and, like, everything's bad. Like, contact percentage, bad. Swing and strike percentage, bad. Like, all this stuff's bad. But at the other end of the spectrum, what? How much faith should the White Sox place in right fielder Abysel Garcia? I'm like, ooh, this is exciting.
Did you see Abysel Garcia beat out that infield single?
I did, because I was watching
that
Yankee game.
Pretty damn fast.
That's right. So why should the season end differently after all that has gone wrong? This is the money paragraph here. Garcia, after dropping about 15 pounds in the offseason, told White Sox officials that he feels freer and looser in the upper body. His ability is not in question. He's a career 808 OPS with runners in scoring position, as opposed to 678 without. Perhaps now, with only 2 years of arbitration remaining before free agency, he's improving his focus and maturing into the player the Sox envisioned.
Well, he's only, what, 25?
Yeah.
So, you know, it is about that time. People mature, you know.
I'm with you.
But I will say this. If I could get Joey Bautista on the cheap in like a trade league, why not do it?
Would you trade Jose Bautista for Eric Thames?
Oh, that's a good one, Greg.
That is a good one. I'm going to say no for the fact that Thames, I just love the park. And I think Thames will give me 10 to 12 slow
So games. You're saying you'd rather have Thames than Bautista?
Yes.
There you go, Corey. How about that?
That's interesting stuff right there.
Though I do think Joey Bautista will still hit 30 home runs this year.
What will the average be?
I think their average will be that's the thing.
Oh, you think it'll be comparable, really?
I don't think that either one's going to really hit for a high average. I just think that really the separator is Thames can possibly get me 10 to 12 stolen bases where Bautista can't.
Okay, so there you go. Danny Salazar last night pitched well, 6 innings, 7 hits, just 1 run, walked a couple, struck out 7. Andrew Miller pitched well in the 8th, Brian Shaw pitched well in the 7th. Cody Allen got himself into a massive amount of trouble in the 9th, but survived.
That was a really good at-bat by Miguel Sano.
Phenomenal at-bat by Miguel Sano.
That really was, I want to say that. Danny Salazar, that first game, you know, pitched like a Danny Salazar start, as people like to say. Last two starts, 12 innings.
Really good.
18 strikeouts, 3 walks. Danny Salazar is a really good pitcher.
He's really, I mean,
he's
really
maddening
good.
At times. He will be maddening at times.
I wanted him this year. I didn't wind up getting him. Kyle Gibson. It's built on my Danny Salazar lines. This is a Kyle Gibson line for sure. 5 1/3, 8 hits, 3 runs, walked a couple, struck out a couple. This is what he does.
He does just enough to always kind of keep you on the cusp of kind of being an interesting, like, you know.
Exactly. Totally, totally with you.
But what I will say is, if Brandon Kinzer, say, loses a job at some point, I was kind of pushing Ryan Presley, but I think the guy, Tyler Duffy, might be the one to keep the eye on. He's got off to a very nice start.
For Cleveland last night, my man Jose Ramirez was the only man in the lineup to have more than one hit. How about that? Francisco Lindor hit his 5th double of the season, while Michael Brantley went deep for the 2nd time this year. For Minnesota...
You do like a Minnesota accent.
Minnesota?
Yeah, you did that.
Yeah,
Scott's rubbing off on
you. I'm excited about Fargo tomorrow night.
I love Fargo.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
I am so excited about Fargo. Fargo is one of my favorite shows on television.
We will have deep thought. Deep conversation.
I will be happy to break down Fargo every Thursday morning for you. Here in the front of this morning. You're going to have to watch Fargo, Corey, I think.
That was a great reaction.
Sorry.
Do you know what Fargo is?
It's a television program.
Yes.
About people in Minnesota.
Do you know that Fargo's not in Minnesota?
Oh, people in North it's about people in North Dakota.
There you go.
Really? That's what it's about?
Well, it was a movie. It was like a Coen Brothers movie. And now it was adapted for TV. It's like a weird show. It's really, really good.
Yeah, no, it is. And the movie was great, and the TV show.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I remember I bought season one, me and the wife, like, we jonesed it, we watched the whole thing, and then boom.
I also bought season one. And bought season two and watched them.
Yeah.
No, you buy it.
VoodooBox.com.
There you go.
Joe Mauer had 2 hits yesterday. Robbie Grossman also had 2 hits. Max Kepler's 5th double of the year. Kepler up to 292 with the OBP of 358. What do you think of Max Kepler here?
I mean, he's a guy that flashed some talent last year, showed us some skills.
He was one of those guys that had like 7 home runs in 2 days last year.
I mean, I kind of like, there's a couple guys here I kind of like. I mean, Robbie Grossman, I only share I had was on my AL-only team. And I did put in a couple of bids this weekend for him. And I had them a little higher, and then I pushed them down. I'm like, you know, it's Robbie Grossman. And I lost out on all those Robbie Grossman bids. So other people were into Grossman. He's somebody to keep an eye on. You know, these are young players. These are players that are going to get the opportunity.
Yeah, and that's the fact, and that's one of the things I like about him too. And he hit you 20 home runs and steal 20 bases.
Yesterday we also.
I'm sorry, not 20. That'd have been crazy.
Yesterday we saw a bunch of fringe pitchers pitch really well, including Jesse Chavez, including AJ Griffin, including Jordan Montgomery. We're going to talk about those three guys and a whole lot of fringe pitchers. Ariel Miranda, another one, in this hour that pitched really well. And I'll ask Matt and Corey if they think these guys are really fantasy relevant or more streamers or guys that you just, you know, take a shot on here and there. We'll do all that, break down all the games in the next hour of the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning is here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Now, we've talked about Chris Devinsky before because, Matt, like you loved him and you were very high on him and are very high on him, and you told me that, listen, you should pick this guy up. Like, he's good. He's really good, and he's the guy that you're in on. And my response always was like, well, there's no room for him in the starting rotation. Even when a guy gets hurt, like, they don't want to move him in the starting rotation. He certainly is not in line to be the closer because you have Ken Giles there. You have Luke Gregerson there. He's not going to be the closer. So my question always was, well, what am I getting out of Devinsky? And your response always was like, he's just good. He's going to help your ratios and ERA and whip, and he's going to strike a bunch of guys out whenever he pitches. And I, while agreeing with you, didn't know how sustainable it was. At least through 2 weeks of the year, you're coming out like a genius. Because Devinsky last night pitched another two clean innings, four strikeouts. He's let up one run all year, one win. He's got 21 or so strikeouts on the season. At least in my Yahoo League, he's the 30th ranked player overall. He has been outstanding. And it's making me realize, and as well as a conversation I'm having with a friend of mine, just how undervalued guys like Chris Devinsky are in fantasy leagues. Chris Devinsky, and the way it was framed to me just a moment ago, he asked me, he actually opened up the conversation. He goes, if Andrew Miller was available, would you pick him up on the waiver wire? And my immediate response was, is that related to you picking up Chris Devinsky? And he goes, yes, exactly. Because Chris Devinsky is basically Andrew Miller here in 2017. And in fact, thus far, better than Andrew Miller in 2017. Why do we undervalue these kind of guys, Matt?
Because people always want the win or the save. They don't think there's any real relevance to keeping the guy, even though they have, you know, the ratios or the strikeouts. The thing is, like you mentioned, that was put perfectly. If Andrew Miller was available, would you pick him up? Last Sunday, I picked up Devinsky in multiple NFBC leagues for the fact that there's a lot of times, especially in a deeper league. I mean, he's even relevant in a 12-team league, but in a 15-team league, he's very relevant. Because, you know, certain guys you don't want to put out there. Because, I mean, there's guys you might like, or the matchup isn't good. And Devinsky, he pitched two innings last night, four strikeouts. If he pitches another two or three innings the rest of the week, say he gets four or five innings in, he could have eight, nine strikeouts. That's a start.
That's the point that I think gets a little unnoticed. Because my stand-up comedian roommate asked me last night when Aroldis Chapman came in, he's like, listen, how many times does Chapman pitch in a week? Most teams play six or seven games during a week. How many times does a guy like Aroldis Chapman pitch? I mean, honestly, like on average three, let's say, right? Give or take, right? Fine. So if you assume the same for a guy like Chris Devinsky, which seems true.
The Dragon.
7 days.
Yeah, he has a great nickname.
Seven days, three games or so. And he pitches like this. You're going to get six innings, let's say one run ball, a heck of a lot of strikeouts, and that's like a week with one star pitcher. That is why these guys are so valuable. And this, and you're so right in that they don't get you a win, they don't get you a save, they're not in line for those things. But even still, there is value there of giving you six innings of one run ball.
I mean, I drafted Andrew Miller in a ton of my leagues just for the fact that if he pitches 80 innings and strikes out 125 batters, that's better than me, say, having a guy that pitches 110 innings, you know, and maybe only strikes out 100 batters. The ERA is Andrew Miller's ratios are going to be fantastic. Davinsky's ratios are going to be top-notch. It's even like Dylan Betances. I mean, that was the guy the year before I was drafted.
100%. So that's what I'm actually saying this conversation I'm having. It's Betances, you have Miller, you have Davinsky, and these three guys, maybe Betances a little less so than the other two right now. Like, these three guys, if they pitch three times a week, which they're going to, they're going to give you three, four, five, six innings of really good ratios. Help for those strikeouts. Like, it may not seem like a lot, like, each and every night, right? Like, if Davinsky comes on and pitches one inning and he pitches a scoreless inning, it doesn't seem or feel like a lot that it's helping you, but ultimately that adds up.
Yeah, I thought that David Phelps would join this group as well. That hasn't happened. He hasn't been as successful, and it's been a little bumpy for him to begin with. And he probably, in my estimation, will end up in their rotation. So he's a guy still to keep on your watch list.
Do you think it's more valuable, a guy like that is more valuable in a Roto League or a head-to-head league?
That's intriguing right there.
Yeah, I think Roto.
Because
okay, so the head-to-head, you got to get those saves. And, you know, head-to-head, you could punt the categories. So I guess you could punt saves. If you're punting saves, but then you... I think I might have to agree with Corey.
I think I agree with Corey, too. Like, ultimately, these guys are really going to help you in Roto Leagues because... They help everywhere. Yeah. They're giving you good ratios,
yeah,
right?
Accumulating.
But in head-to-head leagues where you need counting stats, like wins, like saves, like strikeouts, like maybe strikeouts will be close with that with Davinsky versus another starter. Like maybe that will be close, but I don't know if he helps ERA with enough each week to make it like more valuable. I think they're more valuable in Roto.
Yeah, I think Corey made the right choice. We're going to back Corey on this one.
Thank you.
Last night, speaking of Davinsky and Houston, they won by the score of 3-0. Charlie Morton goes 5 innings, 5 hits, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. Didn't take him 92 pitches to get through those 5 innings. Davinsky comes on, pitches a perfect 6 and 7, strikes out 4. Gregerson comes on, strikes out 1. I mean, the bullpen last night for Houston was perfect. Out of this world. They pitched 4 innings. They struck out 7 guys. Did not allow a hit. Did not allow a walk. It was a phenomenal performance by Houston's bullpen.
Can I get an amen for Ken Giles having a clean ninth inning? I really needed that one.
I was worried about that, Matt.
Yeah, because it's I just really don't want to go through that nightmare again.
But the Angels, you know what? Jesse Chavez didn't pitch badly himself. 7 innings, 7 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks. He struck out 5. I've run up Chavez a couple times to you guys, and I know you weren't all that impressed. Did this change anything? You can say no.
No, I mean, look, I like him when he's pitching at home. I mean, would I have, besides him being in my AL only league, would I have been thrilled to start him versus Houston last night? Not really at Houston. At home at Anaheim, I feel better starting him. And he's a Hector Santiago-ish type pitcher, in my opinion. They're going to have nice starts like this. You just got to keep your eyes on him.
You had Mike Trout steal his third base of the season yesterday. For the Angels, Trout was the only player to have multiple hits other than my guy, Martin Maldonado.
Look at Martin Maldonado.
How about that?
Picked him up.
I drafted him. I don't know.
That was smart of you,
Greg. Thanks, man. Danny Espinosa had a hit.
Giovanni Soto had to go get hurt.
Clown.
For Houston, Alex Bregman goes 2 for 3 and an RBI. Bregman also got caught stealing for the first time last night. What do you think of this order, Modica? We have Reddick batting 2nd and Bregman batting 6th.
Oh, I think they're really trying to get Reddick going here. He did have 3 hits. He's now up to 324. I think in the long run, I like Bregman batting 2nd. I think he's the better hitter. You can move Reddick back down. And I mean, there's guys like Miguel. I mean, there's a guy that I want to keep my eye on for deeper leagues, just to mention, is Gurriel. I want to see if this guy can, you know, blossom into the. I mean, look, he's older now. He was like considered the best Cuban hitter. So he's a guy just keep an eye on, not to forget about, is what I'm trying to say.
I agree. Now, Gurriel's been a name that in a couple of leagues I've participated in, he's been dropped. And I don't blame him for I don't blame them for dropping him. 243 average, 263 OBP. Ulieski.
Oh, okay.
Gurriel.
Yeah. Ronis dropped him this week.
Adam Ronis dropped him. So the even the experts are dropping him, and I don't disagree with that. Batting eighth in this lineup, he's really, really struggled. He's got on the watch list, as you said, Matt, and that's what he is.
He should be dropped. I totally agree with that. And like you said, you know, May 17th, June 17th, you might feel different.
And that's completely fine, but you watch him out. Jesse Chavez had much of his success in Oakland, much like Texas starter last night, A.J. Griffin. Now, whenever Griffin's been healthy, he has had some amounts of success. Now, of course, if you look at the advanced statistics, you know this can't really last, but all I know is, and I said this with Hector Santiago yesterday, all I know is that when he pitches pretty well. Last night, against Oakland, against his former team, it was the same for A.J. Griffin. Six innings, one hit, one walk, eight strikeouts.
He outpitched the savior, Jarrell Cotton, last night.
He really did. Cotton walked four last night.
I know Craig Mish of SiriusXM tweeted, are we all giving this L to Jarrell Cotton here, or are we like attributing something else? No, we were wrong about Cotton in this one. Like,
yeah, no, there's been a lot of excuses made for him. But I mentioned this after his previous start. This is going to be Jarrell Cotton. He's going to have some starts like this and some starts where he just, you know, your jaw drops. This is a young pitcher with a lot of talent on a bad team.
Hey, I'm with you. I found it interesting that they brought in Jeffers in this game at all. I'm assuming that Colonia got in a little bit of trouble, Matt. Is that why they brought in Jeffers for two pitches?
It looks like that. I was asleep by then. I mean, the thing to look at, since we're talking about Texas, we're not going to mention the guy who's on the DL dead and buried. The thing to notice here is Keona Keeler is back with the team after he did an attitude adjustment at the end of spring.
Not the John Cena finishing move, people.
Jeffress is a guy, like I said, I have not been one to be pushing. I don't think he's adequate at best, in my opinion. Keel is the guy that if all things are smooth now, he's eyeing the things out with the teammates, he would be the threat to Matt Bush, in my opinion. I think it's Matt Bush's job. I think they're a little worried about pitching Matt Bush on an everyday basis, especially with that shoulder news. So Keeler has a ton of talent, a guy that I didn't really expect this much this year, but I was speculating on him last year. So he's the guy to watch. It should be Bush, in my opinion, then Keeler, then Jeffress.
It's really interesting because I look at this Texas bullpen, and even though Sam Dyson stinks.
Why do you have your headphones on?
I'm taking a break with the headphones off. What's the difference? I can hear you.
That's funny because if I was to do the same thing, I'd be lost.
Why?
I don't know. That's just the way I am.
You're talking to me. You're next to me.
I know, but if I was to take my headphones off, I would feel like I'm out of place.
My ears are bothering me. So I
understand. I'm just wondering. I can't do that.
So it's funny because I look at this Texas bullpen.
Matt has his headphones on.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just following you guys.
Even though Sam Dyson's on the DL, like I look at Jeffers, I look at Bush, I look at Kenta Kayla, like. These guys are pretty good. Like they throw hard, like they're good. So I agree with you. Kayla gets his head on straight. He's absolutely a threat. You can't talk about the Rangers without mentioning Nomar Mazara, who every day,
balling.
Every damn day, Mazara, 2-for-4 yesterday, had 3 RBIs, RBI double, stole a base, his first of the year. He is, as Corey said, balling. My guy, Carlos Gomez, did well yesterday. He was 2-for-4, 3 runs scored, 2 RBIs. Of course, he struck out because everyone on my team strikes out.
Yeah.
But Gomez was really good. He had his third double of the year. Got that average up to 176.
Yeah, you got to have faith.
Just be patient with him. He's one of those dudes, as it gets warmer, he's played better.
I agree.
I'm not
Carlos Gomez. He's not on the drop list yet. Only Keon Broxton is at the moment.
I agree.
You agree with that?
I mean, bench, not waiver wire.
For now.
Yeah.
For now. Okay.
Are you the same way with girlfriends?
Judy and I have been together for 4 years next month.
So before, like, Judy, were you, like, quick to...
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm done.
Love and leave. Such me.
Right back to the waiver wire.
Love and leave.
Greg, you're putting them on the waiver wire.
Sorry. We talked a little bit about this on the Fantasy BFFs yesterday, yeah. Actually. How, you know, I would drop a girl, not me personally, but people could drop girlfriends for a higher upside prospect.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not a bad idea.
I'm sure that's what you're doing, Corey.
Huh? No, I had I had to release somebody recently.
Really?
And,
you didn't tell us this.
No, I had to send her back to the waiver wire, whatever. And you know, I might pick her back up in the, like, as we get closer
to June.
Yeah, as we get closer to the football sundress season, you know what I'm saying? I might pick her back up, whatever the case may be. But as for the time being, I got a lot of things going on, so I had to send her to the waiver wire. And what if somebody else picks her up?
That's an issue.
I can handle it.
Who did you replace her with?
She has not been replaced yet.
You keep the roster spot open.
I'm curious. I have an open roster spot.
Now, do you do the "it's not you, it's me"?
Yeah, I'm a biggest not you.
Is that your go-to line?
I'm a disaster, honey. You know, you deserve better.
That's your go-to line.
Yeah, that's
which
it.
Which is very good if you want to get them back.
Yeah, and exactly.
Now
How did she take it?
Huh?
How'd she take it?
She had some pretty mean things to say, but I've smoothed that over. I was like, listen, this is a trip to the waiver wire. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, that's true.
I've had women put me on the waiver wire, right?
I'm sure you have.
Yeah, exactly.
You climb your way out of it.
Yeah, exactly. I just get my average back up. You know, get my ratios together.
That's all you need to do.
That's it, and I just come back stronger.
Staying in the AL West, when we come back, we're going to get to Ariel Miranda's start at home against Miami. And you know, before we do, I didn't get your overall opinion here, Matt, on AJ Griffin. Is this somebody we should be picking up?
I don't know about the 12 team. I mean, maybe he's a matchup play in that format. In the 15-team format, he's like you mentioned, when he's healthy, he's been a guy that, you know, has pitched pretty well. So, I mean, he's on Texas. 15-team or more for me.
Would you rather have A.J. Griffin or Jesse Chavez?
That's really close.
It is a good one, Greg.
That is a good one. I'm going to go A.J. Griffin.
Okay.
By hair.
Okay, well, maybe it's like just depending on the matchup by the week.
Yeah, it's probably that's what it probably would be. Okay. But if I had to pick him up, like, you know, I had to make that decision, they were going to be on my team. It would be a tough one. I probably would go AJ Griffin.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get into Ariel Miranda, and we'll see how Matt compares Miranda to Griffin and Chavez. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The sharpest.
Ariel Miranda, who I know a lot of people picked up as a two-star pitcher this week. That was kind of his claim to fame here this week, week number three. And if you picked him up last night, you got one hell of a start. 4 hits, 5 strikeouts over 7 innings. He did not allow a run. What do you think of Ariel Miranda and his potential?
Well, with Drew Smyly and his soggy arm, I don't see him coming back anytime soon. I know they said like 6 to 8 weeks. So Miranda has a job. The question is he going to be good enough to keep it? I think out of the three, I'm probably going to give Miranda the slight edge here. I think they're all in that same group. I think they're in a group that deserves to be together. I like his ballpark best. So I will give him the slight edge. But I think they're all similar type pitchers. Like last night was a very, very nice start. You know, sometimes, like as we mentioned yesterday, you just don't want to get lulled into a false security tip.
I totally agree with that.
Does he have strikeout stuff?
I don't know if he has strikeout per inning stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he was widely picked up this week because of his
two starts. You know, yeah,
that's why he was a hot ticket.
Yeah, he pitched against me this week. But whatever. What was the trade? Was he in the Trumbo? Was he in the Trumbo trade or no?
It could have been that. I forget. I know he got there via trade. I don't really.
That's fine. Let's give it a quick search here. Miranda. Oh Jesus. Miranda was in the Wade Miley trade. Ariel Miranda for Wade Miley.
I'd rather have Ariel Miranda than Wade Miley.
Is Wade Miley employed right now?
He's pitched two games with the Baltimore. This actually, his last game wasn't that bad. That first game versus the Yankees good. Was.
I owned Wade Miley at points last year, by the way. Just so you guys know.
Yeah, I remember when Wade Miley got traded to Baltimore, and people were like, well, you know.
He didn't pitch that bad with Seattle.
I was like, nah, you don't want
this. Tommy Kohler, 4 innings, 7 hits, 5 runs, 5 strikeouts, 3 walks. Tommy Kohler is like the ultimate, like.
Boring.
Yes.
Yes. Pick up, drop.
That is Tom Kohler for sure.
Yeah.
Christian Yelich had 2 hits. Sean Carlos Stanton had 1. Marcelo Zuna shockingly had 0. You don't see that. Of course, the 1 hit for Yelich was his 3rd home run of the year. That one was a solo shot. For Seattle, good day for my guy, Robinson Cano, with his 2nd home run of the season. It was a 2-run shot. Nedé Cruz had his 2nd one. Of the season, that was a back-to-back with Robinson Cano, while Taylor Motter still filling in for Gene Segura. How are they going to take Taylor Motter out of the lineup when Segura comes back?
Well, Motter could play outfield, too. He's a guy that can move around. I did get him in my AL-only league this week. I had some very, very small bids on him in other leagues, did not get him. But, I mean, yeah, right now, just ride that wave. If he keeps on hitting, they can find ways to, you know, move him around. And if Gene Segura comes back, I'm hoping they take. I don't want Gene Segura to get rushed as a Gene Segura owner. You know, speed is his game.
Absolutely. But given what Motter has done, you would think they're not going to rush him.
One would think that.
Although Seattle doesn't really win by very much.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the guy who's most in danger with the team for as far as Motter goes. Is Danny Valencia, who's just not getting it done.
I agree with you. Hey, and don't look now, by the way. Mariners have won 4 in a row after that really, really cold start where they were 2-8. They won 4 in a row. Now they're 6-8. A couple games back at the Astros. Mariners doing all right.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Mariners this year. I think the AL West is really going to be a fun race with Texas and
Houston. Corey, if I asked you right now, who has the worst record in baseball, what would you say?
The Mets.
Mets, that's not correct.
Oh, they will soon.
Seriously, if I asked you who had the worst record in baseball, what would you say?
The worst record in baseball belongs to the Chicago White Sox.
Chicago White Sox are 6-6.
I would say, honestly, I don't really know the answer.
You know the answer.
I don't, but my guess would be the Toronto Blue Jays.
This is why he makes the big bucks. Toronto Blue Jays are 2-10 on the year.
They start struggling, huh?
Everybody else, like in all of baseball, has at least 5 wins. I'm sorry, 4. The Cardinals are 4-9, but everybody else is right. So there's a couple teams that have 4 wins, but whatever. Yeah, nobody has 2 wins or 3 wins except for the Toronto Blue Jays, who've really been struggling here this season. Just 2-8 in their last 10, and they only played 12 games, so that kind of makes sense.
Thank God for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Let's talk about the New York Yankees here last night, because Jordan Montgomery pitched really, really well. The Yankees won 7-4. Montgomery had six really, really, really good innings, and comes out for the 7th, allows 2 singles, and allows a 3-run bomb, and that was it. The overall line for Montgomery doesn't look as good as it should have, but 6 innings, 7 hits, 3 runs, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. He was in control all night, though, Matt.
He actually was. I watched the 7 innings, or the 6-plus innings that he pitched. I actually watched watched the Yankee game.
It was enjoyable.
It was very enjoyable. I was really, I was impressed with how he was pitching. He was, you know, mixing things up very nicely. On the Twitter machine, Eno Saris was throwing him some love, which is always good to see. So it was a very encouraging outing. Like I said, I recently new addition to my to a couple of teams in the NFBC. So I was really happy. I mean, the final line, that 450 ERA kind of hurts you. The 150 WHIP kind of hurts you. But it's very encouraging going forward.
Chapman got the save.
Chapman got the save, which is annoying because Adam Warren just couldn't finish this one out. They didn't want to use Chapman last night. Chapman came in, allowed the first pitch, allowed a single, second pitch, got the double play, and that was it for this game.
He threw 2 pitches.
Yeah, speaking of watching the Yankee game, and like Michael Kay just really hurts my ears.
Michael Kay is tough. He's tough.
Yeah, he's a tough listener.
He's tough.
But it made me laugh. He went from like pretty much the same like breath in the same span. He's like, it's kind of odd that Texas gave up on such a on Derek Holland, a guy with this kind of stuff. And then he's like, well, in the last since 1913 against the Yankees, minimum 50 innings. Derek Holland has like the worst ERA
against the Yankees. It was actually hysterical. And then, like, I heard this exact conversation that Matt's referring to.
Immediately after that, Matt Holliday, boom!
And that wasn't just a little boom. That was a big boom.
It was so great. I mean, I was just sitting there cracking up.
And then you have Al Leiter sitting there hysterically laughing. Yeah. Like, that ERA just went up, Michael.
Speaking of Al Leiter, John Franco stopped in the studio and got a little savage on Al Leiter.
Oh, he did.
He was looking a little portly.
Oh, wow. This is good stuff going on last night at the stadium, huh?
Yeah.
Doing the broadcast.
Speaking of Derek Holland, the line, 4 2/3, 10 hits, 7 runs, 6 of them were earned, 4 strikeouts, allowed the big home run to Matt Holliday, and allowed a big blast to the judge, Aaron Judge.
That is Dutch oven translated into numbers.
For the Yankees, Holliday hit his second, Judge his fourth, and Aaron Judge, if you drafted him, or you're the New York Yankees, it doesn't really matter, because given what you have received, it's all you could have hoped for, I think. Mm-hmm. 2-4 last night, hit the long home run. The power obviously is for real for Judge. He's going to strike out a ton, which we knew. I think the average at 275 right now is like perfect.
And you love that. You love that. Yep.
And he hits it like 800 feet whenever he makes contact. He's a big man.
Yeah, the power nobody's debating. His main thing for this season is developing plate discipline, getting comfortable with the major league game. And, I mean, him, Greg Bird, you got Torres in the minors, guys like Frazier. If I'm a Yankee fan, there's a lot to be excited on the offensive side. The two keys on the pitching side is Severino, guys like Montgomery to come out of pretty much nowhere and do it like with the Mets when they had DeGrom came on the scene and he was only supposed to be in the bullpen, but somebody got hurt, he got into the rotation, and look where he is now.
Sterling Castro was 3-4, 2 monster doubles for Castro. Of course, we mentioned the Holliday home run. Jacoby Ellsbury was 2-4 himself. Chase Headley was 1-4, but got thrown out at second base. Well, that was an error. He got thrown out on second base in an error, but he was 1-4 with an RBI and a run scored. For the White Sox, the only runs that they scored came from Yelmer Sanchez's 3-run bomb. I forgot they had the stupid run in the ninth. That was annoying. And that was from the backup catcher, Kevin Smith. Kevin with an A, in case anybody was wondering.
Oh.
Avisaíl García was 1-4. Legged out an infield single. Good for Avisaíl García. Big fans of him. Tim Anderson, in case you're wondering, was 1-4 and committed an error.
Yes, batting 149 on the season. 167 is the OBP.
Yeah, but you hold on to him. See what
Tim
happens.
Anderson's a hell of a player. He's going to have opportunity.
You hold on for him. See what happens.
You send your girlfriends to the waiver wire for no reason.
There's no reason. Who's there's no reason?
Last, when you send your girlfriends to the waiver wire, why is it?
It wasn't working out.
I would like to inquire further.
There is a low batting average for them.
One who doesn't get enough love is Sterling Castro on the Yankees. He's
a baller.
He's always overlooked and underappreciated.
Speaking of that, do you know who's not getting hate? Because I'm the negative one to Matt's positivity. Jose Abreu.
I was tweeting out prior to the season. Look, it's still early, but he's had a steadily decline in power. The ground ball rate has kept to spike up. He's not going to have a ton of offensive weapons in front of him, neither. I thought the White Sox should have been pressing to move him prior to the season. I think last year he got off to a slow start, too, and still came up with a very good season. So I'm not saying I'm right on Jose Abreu at all. I'm just saying it was something that I was concerned of entering the season. He could still be fine. And hey, look, the guy hits like basically 300 every year and hits 25 or more homers, but he went from 35 to 30 to like 25. So when everybody's hitting home runs, it's kind of alarming to me.
170 average thus far.
Jose, he's struggling. He's scuffling right now. I didn't want no parts of him in draft season, you know what I'm saying? So, Abreu. Boom,
sign.
What the hell are you doing, Greg?
Just imitating you.
Yes.
Everybody else does.
Oh, you acting like Scott?
Why do you keep comparing me to Scott?
Sorry. Stanford does a good one. He does the best one.
You think Stanford does the best one?
Mm-hmm.
Florida does a terrible one.
Stanford is good. Stanford is a good fantasy executive impersonation.
My favorite fantasy executive line ever is.
What?
anyone that meets him, whether it's the owner of this hotel or a girl at the bar. Corey Parson, fantasy agent.
Nice to meet you.
How you doing?
Nice to meet you. I try to be friendly to everybody. I introduce myself because you never know when I meet these people again.
I'm with you. True. I'm with you. Hey, let's take a break. We got to come back. We got a couple more games left to talk about here from last night, including St. Louis getting a win over Pittsburgh and Atlanta walking off at home, SunTrust Field. I saw that last night. I'll give you my opinions on the stadium. Atlanta, San Diego, the walk-off. St. Louis and Pittsburgh as well. Those are coming your way next here on the Road Experts in the Morning. Hanging out here on a Tuesday. Road Experts in the Morning. Good day for me, gentlemen. One more meal to go.
That's right.
One more meal to go in the no bread diet.
It's not like sundown tonight?
Sundown tonight. Okay. So I'm going to have lunch, but I'll just have a salad, like I normally do anyway. And then tonight, going up to Parm.
What, going where?
Parm. You guys have got me interested in this place.
Where's this at, Parm?
72nd, I think.
72nd in Amsterdam or something
like that.
Or
I think that's right.
I was inquiring.
Yeah.
No, it's a steakhouse.
It is not.
No?
No.
What is this place?
Chicken Parm.
It's a chicken Parm, veal Parm.
Shrimp Parm.
Oh, Parm.
Yeah. Not the Palm.
I'm looking at the Palm.
No, the Palm's a steakhouse. Yeah. No, I'm not trying to spend
Palm
that tonight.
Palm NYC.
I do need a Del Frisco.
I'm not trying to spend that tonight. I don't blame you. Palm Upper West Side. There that's the one you're going
that's
to?
That's the one I'm going to. You want to take a look? Describe what I'm going to be eating tonight?
Yeah, this looks... How is this place?
I wouldn't be going if I didn't like it.
Menus, Upper West Side. Let's see. They got lunch and dinner, sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wines, cocktail, and beer.
Got some beer, probably.
All right. Yeah, no doubt. And so it's in a good location, too. This is kind of, when you get over to Columbus Avenue, I used to run in this stretch right here.
You used to, like, physically run?
No, not physically run, but I used to.
He was a one-man wolf pack.
I used to get money over there.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's
change the subject.
I want to know what you think of the menu.
The menu looks good. So right now they got meatball palm, eggplant palm, chicken palm, the Italian Randy Levine. Who's that?
The Yankee guy? The president of the Yankees?
Randy Levine, pork, pickles, and spicy mustard. Maybe it's a special sandwich named after him.
Yankee doesn't like that one.
No, I don't have a sandwich name. No, it does look good, though. They should have a sandwich named after me at some point.
Maybe if you go there, they will.
What would your sandwich be?
It would be the executive.
No. Well, like, what would be the ingredients in the sandwich?
It would be a Philly cheesesteak.
You got a name for that. It's called Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah, it'd be a steak and cheese, but it'd put like some peppers or something different. So they got Caesar salad. You eat enough salads. Appetizer.
I gotta start eating some
I'm not wasting.
They got buffalo cucumbers.
Oh, this place looks good. I'm looking at these heroes and stuff.
Yeah. It's a good spot.
Nice pasta.
Who'll be visiting?
Nice pasta. Chinese ribs.
Parma should sponsor us now.
Chicken. Oh, yeah. What the hell are we doing? Get off of this.
I wonder if they would deliver to 45th and 11th.
If you work at Parm on the Upper West Side, please call us at 844-843-6879.
Look at these delicious looking cured meats. Oh.
Oh, this is some nice look.
I'm officially hungry.
Can we go for lunch today?
It's open for lunch.
Look at those brownies, look pretty good.
It's open for lunch, yeah. Can't go today, though.
No, you can't. You gotta wait till
tonight.
Tomorrow.
I'm going tonight.
You going with Judy?
I'm going with Judy.
Nice.
We're breaking it. We're breaking a feast with a feast.
Now, is she going to come back to your spot after, or are you going to stay at her
crib? No, she'll be going to my spot afterwards.
You're going to stay. How often do you stay at her house? She have a roommate, or she's got
she lives with her sister.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. You know, probably like once during the week and maybe once on the weekends.
Yeah,
that's it.
Okay, that's good.
It's reasonable, right?
No. Yeah.
No, I hate it. I just like my own space. I sleep in my own bed.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
This is me.
Well, what size bed do you have?
Queen.
Yeah. See, what I've learned, and not to be like anything.
Please, no.
If you have a significant other, male, female, whatever it is, you definitely need a king size bed.
Yeah,
a king size bed is the key to happiness.
I'm gonna be honest with you. A king size bed does not fit my little apartment, Matt.
Well, I have a small apartment too, but mine's more open, so it's more like it's not big because you know
it's
crazy what they charge you out here. But especially, we'll put it this way: when you get married, first thing you do is buy a king bed.
What? All right, you know what? I want to get married.
I don't care if you got to break a wall.
I can't. I don't care if you don't have a kitchen. You're gonna have a king size bed. Yeah. Cardinals had put up two runs yesterday. Pirates put up one. Cardinals, finally people win.
What are you doing, your Dan Strafford impersonation?
No, I like your Dan Strafford. Yeah. Well, that's a good one.
Dan Strafford last night in St. Louis. The
Jake
St. Louis
Seeley
just
tweeted at me, California King all the way, all day.
Jake is up and tweeting.
Lance Lynn, 7 innings, 3 hits, 5 strikeouts, and a walk for Lance Lynn. A much-needed big-time start. Trevor Rosenthal looked really good yesterday. Mm-hmm. It was an inning, struck out a batter. Sung Wan Oh did not look great. Got by with the save after allowing a run. Ivan Nova, a complete game. 5-hitter, 8 hits. 8 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs. Struck out 3 while walking nobody.
Wow, a great game.
A great, one of the tweets of the night last night definitely was.
Derek.
I forget who it was. Ivan Nova with Pittsburgh has more complete games than walks. 4 complete games, 3 walks.
That's a wild thing.
This isn't like about 80 innings.
Can we steal credit for that one? Can we steal credit for that, Corey? Is that legal?
That's pretty damn amazing.
More complete games than walks?
Wow, holy, he's doing good.
And just getting back to five appearances. He's allowed a run in 4 of them. He's only has 2 strikeouts. This was, like I said yesterday or the day before, I thought one of the more secure closing assets coming into the season, and that has not worked out so far. I mean, he's got time before.
If Dexter Fowler don't get it going, he's gonna find his ass on the bench, on my bench.
He's on our bench. He's on my our waiver wire.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. He's gonna be on my bench. He's got to get it going. He's got to get rolling.
Randall Grichuk, the only Cardinals player to have 2 hits, he was 2 for 3. While Colton Wong had his first home run of the season.
You know what?
Yes, that was...
The Cardinals suck.
Right now they do. Right now.
Yeah, the Cardinals suck.
Well, you watched them this weekend. They played the Yankees.
Yeah, the Cardinals suck. The Cardinals suck.
Yeah.
But they're supposed to be like contenders every year. But it just hit me just now. I'm looking at this lineup. I'm like, wait a minute. The Cardinals suck.
To be fair, no Matt Carpenter. He was out with a finger injury, just so you know.
The one good thing that came out of this game as someone who owns multiple Ivan Nova shares was that the home run that was hit by Colton Wong, who's pretty much on my bench, and me and Chris Vaccaro have him in the league, and we were just talking before the game, like, does he know, Chris sent me a text, does Colton Wong know like he's got to do something this week or he's gone?
Boom.
And I was about to send out like a disparaging tweet about Colton Wong.
That's not nice, Matt.
Well, not like really disparaging, but like not like a... Not like a player.
Nothing positive, yeah.
And I decided to cancel the tweet. And like a minute later, he hits the home run. So there you go.
Oh, look at this, y'all.
Did the power just went out there? Just lost.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, all the TV and the lights and stuff just shut off.
Do we know where the stairs are?
I know, right? Don't start. Never mind. The game. Game time. 2 hours and 14 minutes.
How about that? Rob Manfred, real pumped.
It's working.
I love how the fantasy exec, you are always on that game
time.
There's certain things he cares about.
Pace of play initiative. I want to make sure
he's in on the pace of play initiative.
It's like the one stat I never ever look at. I look at
it. It's nothing to do with us.
2 hours and 14 minutes was the game time. That's good right there.
No, that is. I mean, look, it was a well pitched game that went very quickly. I mean, the Yankees. I mean, like I said, I was watching the Jordan Montgomery, trying to keep an eye on this game too. But then he was doing so well, I was like, you know what? I really haven't been watching it. I don't want to jinx.
Yeah. so you are one of those people that things are going well on a game you're not watching, you don't tune in.
Yeah, there's certain things. If I was watching it, then it's cool. But if I wasn't, and then I start watching, like base runners come on.
I'm with you. Josh Bell, only Pirates player to have 2 hits. He was 2 for 4 yesterday. Also scored the only run for the Pirates in the 9th inning on a Gregory Polanco pinch hit double, which makes you feel good that Polanco's back should be in the lineup today.
That's what they said yesterday. He did pregame workouts, whatever, yada yada. So hopefully
Andy McCutchen had a hit too, Corey.
Yeah, I'm glad to see Andrew McCutchen get a hit. But so far on the season, he has been, and I don't want to say disappointing, but he's batting 250, you know what I mean? But I expect things to start picking up for Mr. McCutchen.
Last game of the day for us to go over is the Padres and the Bravos. Your boy Jared Weaver pitched last night.
Oh, God. You know what? I'm so sick of hearing about Jared Weaver.
6 innings, 7 hits, 3 runs, only 2 of them were earned. He struck out 3. That's called a quality start, and he only threw 64 pitches in those 6 innings.
Look at that.
64 pitches in 6 innings.
Last
Holy
week,
crap.
He was the worst pitcher ever.
Oh, I'll say one thing. Jared Weaver versus Freddie Freeman is not a fair match.
No. No, not good. Do you know who played against Freddie Freeman this week? Me! Freddie Freeman hit two home runs last night. His fourth and fifth of the year. He was freaking awesome. Both of them made him count, too. Jaime Garcia on the other side for the Braves. Six and a third. Five hits. Two runs. He walked three. Struck out four. You had Aroldis Vizcaíno come in, pitch poorly. That wasn't good. He allowed the Austin Hedges home run in the eighth, his second home run of the year for Austin Hedges. Ryan Shrimp scored. Of course, Freeman then came back in the eighth, tied the game anyway. And it was the ninth where we saw both Jimmy Johnson pitch and Brandon Mora. Jimmy Johnson allowed a hit, struck out a batter, got out unscathed. Brandon Mora did not. Two-thirds of an innings, three hits, and a run. That was a disaster. It's a Dansby Swanson. End of the bat single into left that just fell down and won the game for the Braves.
What did you think about the park, SunTrust?
It was not what I expected it to look like, to be honest with you. It tried to seem homey, but like also kind of new. Like, it was just not what I expected.
I'm going to it in a couple weeks.
When are you going to it?
I believe it's about maybe 2 or 3 weeks from now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Are you going to do a road rush versus the park from there?
No, hell no. I'm going to go put my feet up and drink some beers.
Now, Corey, how far is Cumberland from Atlanta?
I don't know how far Cumberland is.
That's where it is.
What?
That's where the park is.
It's in
Cobb County.
Yeah, no, it's in Cobb County where the big boss man was from. I've stayed across the street from the park before. It's not far. It's probably maybe a half hour from the airport.
Okay, that's not bad.
It's not
that's
bad not at bad. All.
By the way, game time 2:48.
Not bad. Look at that. Yeah, another game.
See what happens when you eliminate the intentional walk.
Yeah, that's still amazed by Luis Sardinas. You had, as I mentioned, the second home run from Austin Hedges. You also had a pinch hit home run from Alan Cordoba, who also had a rough ninth inning in the field for San Diego. Will Myers was 2 for 5, struck out 3 times. Will Myers is a name that we haven't really heard all that much about this year, Matt, but it looks like he's playing pretty well.
Yeah,
Will Myers is doing good things once again. It's like I said, it's kind of the thing. Like, I had him last year, but he was cheap, and then he got expensive. But I mean, look, he's not going to hit 368. The average is the one thing that I'm not sold on. But the power and speed, I do believe in.
Hunter Renfro over 4, now batting 236, and has yet to walk this year, Corey.
Hunter Renfro, right now, this was a guy, right, that people were very excited about coming into the season. He's hitting in the middle of the lineup, but he's going to have to pick up that batting average because we can't get too excited about Renfro if he's hitting 236.
I'll say this, Hunter Renfro is kind of like the Padres' Aaron Judge.
Okay.
I think that's... The guy that I'm most excited on this team is Manny Margot.
Yeah.
I wish I had many more shares. I have some, but I wish I had many more.
1 or 4 of the run scores, an infield single for Manny Margot. For the Braves, we mentioned Freddie Freeman. He was 4 for 4 last night. He had an insane night. I think he had 12 total bases last night because he's playing my damn team. And they're in CR today, was 2 for 4. Dansby Swanson only hit in a rough start to the season was the game winner, his first walk-off hit of his career. Kurt Suzuki had a hit. A bunch of other hits from some other guys, including Corey's Brandon Phillips.
Oh, my God, that dude, BP, getting it done.
Did you see Christian Betancourt got on that bat?
Oh, I didn't notice that. Oh, pinch hit Christian Betancourt. He didn't pinch yesterday, though. Only pinch hit.
They had to pinch it.
Well, he was a catcher.
You were. He was in the bathroom yesterday. We were talking about.
I gotta go again.
He pitched yesterday, and he didn't allow any runs.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good for him. I like when people interchange stuff like that.
Yeah, we're pumped for him. That's it. That's your baseball report for Monday night. A whole lot of baseball today. We'll give you a little preview of the hockey and the basketball coming your way today as well. We got 10 minutes left. Road Rush for the morning wraps up after this. Minutes here over the Roto Experts in the morning. Matty Mo, Greg Sussman, Fantasy Zach. Old school fantasy, the OGs are up next. And remember, check out the Roto Experts exclusive Edge fantasy baseball package available all season long. You get great stuff inside of Michael Florio, Frank Stample, Jake Seeley, writing all the time for you and giving you information that legitimately nobody else has. It is well worth it, my friends. Pick it up. the Roto Experts exclusive Edge package right now. Also, remember that the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, it's free all the time. Download the app, whether you're listening online or you're listening on iTunes, and you can listen all on demand. I know Matt does on his walks to work, his walk home from work. He's always got the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on.
That is true. I love it. I love the app. I love the iTunes feature. I'm actually, after the show, I'm speaking of the NFL draft coming up. I see we got Jake Seeley's article out there with wide receivers and tight ends. I'm going to be checking that out.
Absolutely. Make sure you check it out. Of course, a lot of draft coverage coming your way here on the network over the next couple of weeks. Corey Parson will head that up. We are now just a week or so away from the NFL draft. Of course, kicks off next Thursday. Fantasy Sports Radio Network will have you live from there. Now, let's get into some of the stuff today, Matt. We had a full game, full slate of games, I should say, today. What are you most looking forward to tonight? What is going to be on the main TV? All right, besides the Rangers, of course.
Besides the Rangers. I still want to watch Zach Wheeler. He made nice progressions last week. The other game I do want to check out is the Yankee game as well.
How about that?
I mean, Severino is someone that you have to watch right now. I mean, I do enjoy watching young kids, especially if they can make that step, figure some things out. Just to note, I do see on the app now that Kevin Gausman is inserted as the Orioles starting pitcher. So there was some hubbub if he was going to start it tonight. So I think he had something with his finger, a blister or his fingernail. I'm not sure which one it was.
But he's good to go, Gausman.
Yes, that is true. The other game of interest for me is Jimmy Nelson.
Jimmy Nelson at
Wrigley.
Big Jim.
Yeah. So I know you guys are on the wagon.
We're invested.
Hopefully we're not knocked off the wagon tonight.
I'll tell you where we'll start tomorrow, no matter what, probably. Yeah. Big Jimmy Nelson, of course, gets to start in Wrigley. Not exactly ideal, but we'll take it. It is what it is.
Late night baseball of interest is you, Darvish. Anytime Darvish pitches, I want to watch.
Check it out.
I love watching. Pitch.
Jay Happ, according to JP Morosi of the MLB Network, little late breaking headline for you. Left elbow injury we heard about yesterday, not believed to be serious. Had an MRI yesterday. I believe it's not a big deal. I'm sure I'll go on the DL, but not that big of a deal, which is a big thing.
Yeah, that's got to be a huge relief for Toronto. Like I said, Toronto's about 2-10. And we've seen, like, Seattle, who had, like, one win or two wins. They just rolled off four games. So it's not too late for them. You know, in another week or two, it's going to start being really bleak. But hopefully, you know, Batista can get hot. Devin Travis can hit. But it's becoming a taller task every day.
Yeah, you know, I was actually looking at Toronto. Like, Aaron Sanchez has this blister issue. And actually, I'm sure you heard this while watching the Yankee game, that they were talking about Aaron Sanchez's blister, and Al Leiter had some major blister issues himself. And Aaron Sanchez and his agent reached out to Al Leiter to try to figure out how to get rid of it and how to tackle it. And Leiter was talking about he basically put, I guess, some sort of substance, which is legal, on the blister, almost like a one of those wet Band-Aid things, and that would cover it, and that helped him out. And Leiter dealt with a lot of blister problems early in his career. Now Aaron Sanchez is dealing with it, trying to help him out. And Michael Kay basically was like, listen, you need to talk to Rich Hill, too, because this is an issue.
I was just about to say that. Why the hell isn't Rich Hill and his agent reaching out?
It's gotten so bad with Rich Hill that, like, the Dodgers are talking about, listen, we may have to throw this guy in the bullpen because he can't last until with a blister. He can't last, and that would be brutal for them. I mean, brutal in the sense that, like, they gave him all this money, not brutal that they don't have another starter that can fill in admirably for Hill.
They got plenty of money, too.
But as a fantasy owner, like, with Rich Hill, what do you do? Like, this is a guy that you invest in early round picking, you expected a lot from, he may wind up in the bullpen.
Yeah, I keep seeing that as well. I think the Dodgers are going to go every road to having him in the rotation. I mean, that's what they really want. I mean, can this guy, I mean, what if he goes to the bullpen? I don't know how it's, to me, how is it less if he's in the bullpen? I know it's less innings he'll pitch, but you got to warm up, you got to sit down, unless they decide every time he's warmed up, he gets up, he's going to come in the game. I mean, I don't know. It's just crazy that this blister has taken on, like, you know, it should have, like, its own TV show, its own sitcom or something.
That's a good idea. Like, Nando, like, I love it.
What are you watching tonight, Corey?
I'm going to watch some NBA tonight and get a little hoops, you know what I'm saying? Get a little hoops in my system tonight, see what's going on. with a little NBA action. Tuesday, I'm going to take it light, just watch some hoops and chill. I got things I got to get done.
Oh, and you told us we might have a guest tomorrow in the studio.
Yeah, yes, my daughter PK may actually be with us tomorrow.
We call her PK? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Kennedy. We call it.
Princess Kennedy?
There you go.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I like it. Huh. I like it.
We are also, we're working on guests, Corey and I, for later this week and next week, right?
Yeah, it's going to be tough to pull that one off.
Really?
Yeah, it was going to be tough to pull that one off.
We had a great idea, man. We didn't want to reveal it on the air because we don't want to let people down, but we had a great idea.
Yeah, but it's going to be tough to pull that one off.
Anybody or just that one guy?
Well, it's going to be tough, period. Because who really is going to come on and talk about that?
A guy that retired, probably.
It's got to be somebody retired. You think Marcus Kuhn would be able to help us with that?
I thought about that.
Yeah.
We could reach out to Kuhn. So he's the 18th?
Yeah.
So we would need it. We'll talk to Kuhn.
Yeah, because then that's the perfect day, too.
Yeah, we'll talk to Kuhn tomorrow about it, see if we can get anybody on.
It would have been cool to get Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell, that seems like a little bit higher.
Yeah, but he's probably not going to talk about that either. They probably told him.
Martavis Bryant would come on with us?
Nah, Martavis Bryant not going to come on either.
Yeah.
Maybe LeBron James.
Yeah.
Because remember, they caught him at the Indians game, remember? They caught Savannah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I'm quite sure she don't alone.
We'll work on some other stuff. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Old School Fantasy with Scott Engel, George Kurtz, and Corey Parson is up next from Matty Moe. And Corey, I'm Greg Sussman. Have a wonderful rest of your Tuesday. We'll be back right here tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern, eating bread. See you tomorrow.